Welcome to Career Tools. This week, the myth of career planning. The questions this cast answers are, how should I plan for my career? What's the secret to career planning? And what's the reality of career planning?
Folks, if you're listening to this and you're not a licensee, I strongly encourage you to become one. A few months ago, we launched Executive Tools, which will give you some insight into how executives think and what it takes to become an executive, to climb the ranks, as it were. In addition, licensees get access to all of our show notes for all of our casts, Manager Tools, Career Tools, and Executive Tools. And now, because of the frothiness in the job market, we are including the interviewing series as well as some other of our digital products also. So I hope you become a licensee. Come to the website to learn more.
Manager Tools has four training conferences that you can go to: the Effective Manager, the Effective Communicator, the Effective Hiring Manager, and the M Conference. And the M Conference is slightly different because it's for executives, and it's not just Manager Tools people that present. It's the people we respect most in the world, longtime Manager Tools managers and executives who have some kind of perspective, some kind of view on the world of work and management and executive life that we want to share with others. But because of the whole COVID thing, we haven't been able to have one. And so instead, we've been doing a speaker series. And if you are interested, you can sign up for the M Conference and the speaker series on the website. Just go to training and look for M Conference. During one of the recent calls, Mark asked everybody who was on the call, so how did y'all get to where you are now? All of these executives, how did they plan their careers to be so successful? And what we suspected, and maybe you didn't, was 90% of them said there was no lightning strike. There was no strategic thinking, no moment of truth, no wise mentor. Yoda did not say to them, an executive you will be. Instead, there was circumstance and luck and hard work. And so we want to tell some of their stories and tell you some of the actual ways that people get to be executives rather than the myths of how they get to be executives in this cast.
Right. So if you think that you're not on a straight and narrow path to where you're going in your career, you're not alone. So our outline today is we're going to review the myths, and then we're going to review the reality. And the reality is really made up of five parts. Number one, my first choice didn't work out for me. Number two, someone offered me a job. Number three, there were no straight lines. Number four, look strategic backwards, but really wasn't. And number five, unexpected opportunities.
This is so fun. I can't wait to get to the story. So let's get through the myths. So the first one is one that we talked about recently. I think Mark and I were on a cast talking about this one. And it's the myth of the lightning strike. So people think that there's this moment that people have quite young, like 4 or 5, and the heavens open, and Morgan Freeman, as the voice of God, says, you shall be a fairly successful manager in a small plastics firm in Milwaukee. And that's that. So it happens, and that's how you become a successful manager. And that's so not true. Right. It happens so rarely. I don't think I've ever talked to anybody who said, I had this moment. Actually, my dad is probably one of the few people. He saw an aeroplane aged 8 and said, I want to work with aeroplanes, which he did for the rest of his life. Although I'm not sure that he would have said, I'm going to be an engineer on the Queen's flight. Like, he wouldn't have known that existed. He just liked aeroplanes. So,
right.
In fact, it's so rare. There's a YouTube video, which I love, which is two priests, Catholic priests, talking about how they came to be priests. And if you think that there's a voice of God moment, it has to be for priests, right?
Surely.
God says, you shall be a priest. And what's funny is that's not what happened to them. Both of them were in the church. Their family were church going. They went to church. They were interested. They were in, you know, youth groups and so on. But they didn't have this moment of, I'm going to be a priest. In fact, they had moments of, I'm going to do other things. They went to school and they still weren't convinced that they were going to be priests. And, you know, eventually it seemed to be that this was what was made most sense to them. But there's no lightning strike. There's no, you know, voice. And it amazes me, you know, if there were any people that you would think would have that moment, it would be priests. And even they don't have it.
Absolutely. I think of people that I've talked to, successful people, I've asked, you know, how they got there and similar to what we're going to talk about today. And they've said, you know, it just something, you know, it was a series of events. It was, you know, it was never one thing. And most of them honestly say, if you would have asked me 10 years ago, I would have never said I'm doing what I would have never said I would do what I'm doing now. Another myth, Wendy, is the I just knew myth. Kind of like what you said about your dad. As a small child, you know, no more than five, says, I'm going to be a doctor, or I'm going to be a veterinarian, or a fireman, or a teacher, or in a lot of cases, I want to be just like dad, right? Just like whatever my dad did. Then they spend all their school years working towards that goal, finally becoming, as they always knew they would, a doctor or a vet or a teacher. For most of us, the jobs that we know about at that young age are the ones we interact with, doctors, vets, teachers, whatever our parents do. And so the idea that the majority of us would find the right thing from that narrow range of options is ludicrous. If that were true, there would be an awful lot of jobs left unfilled or undone.
Yes. If we only asked three-year-olds.
Right. Exactly.
None of them would say, yes, yeah, somebody has to, I don't know, clean McDonald's. I don't know. Whatever.
No. Yeah.
What, there's so many things. You have young children. What do they say?
Oh, yeah. Well, AJ wants to be a jujitsu instructor.
Okay.
I thought that would change.
Something he knows. Because
right. Something he knows. Something he does several times a week. I thought that would change after he broke his arm doing jujitsu, but nope, he's still adamant that that's what he wants to do. Lincoln wants to be a teacher. Again, someone they interact with, right?
Yes.
And they see and they look up to and admire. And so I do think there's an aspect of you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a friend who has a very successful business. I think he started maybe 7 years ago cleaning solar panels, which wouldn't have even been a thing, you know, 15 years ago. But he said, oh, you know what? I realized, like, I cleaned my solar panels on my house and they worked better or whatever. And so I started doing it around the neighborhood and it grew into this really successful business. He does very well. He didn't even know that that was a thing. How would you know that that's a job? You just don't know.
No, in fact, it probably wasn't a job until he made it into one.
Right,
exactly.
In some
senses, right?
Yeah.
Another myth is that the people we admire have some kind of strategy. Like your friend, right? Oh yeah,
right.
I'm going to start a business. Cleaning solar panels would be really successful. No, like somebody, he said to somebody, oh yeah, I cleaned mine and they worked better. And somebody said, I'll pay you. How much do you want to clean mine? And he went, oh, I don't know, $50. And then, and that was his first $50. And there was no strategy. And then somebody else asked him and somebody else asked him. And eventually he thinks, okay, this could be a business, but there's no plan ahead of time.
Exactly.
You know, this myth usually comes out later in life, you know, when we're actually working and maybe we look at someone who's running a business or we look at the senior leaders in an organization and we think they must have had a plan to get where mm-hmm. they were. And the majority just don't. They just make the most of the opportunities that come to them.
Yeah. I worked for a boss once who she, for her last three or four jobs that she had when she was my boss, she wrote her own job description because she just, as she was doing the job she was in, she realized, oh, there's someone needs to do this in mm-hmm. the organization as well. And someone needs to do this. And so she would continually evolve and then present, this is what I think, you know, we need a role that does this. And if you want it to be me, I'll take it.
Yeah.
So I think when we read, you know, biographies, autobiographies, we see the patterns, the choices of one person's life that leads to an ending. And in most cases, if there are biographies and autobiographies, we kind of already know that ending.
Right.
Right. So it seems logical. It seems like it makes sense. It's like one of those escape room, you know, mystery things where it's solved and the clues seem obvious, but life isn't like that. This is what Soren Kierkegaard said when he said, it is perfectly true, as the philosophers say, that life must be understood backwards, but they forget the other proposition, that it must be lived forwards, which is just a great quote, right? Life has us in the middle of an escape room, wondering how to get out, grasping at any clue, trying anything that might solve the problem. While we're in it, we can't know what that key will be, what that one clue will be that unlocks the door. We can read other people's ideas. We can listen to, you know, advice. We can see what other people did to get where they got to. But we're all in our own individual escape room. When we get out, we can easily list all those things that happened that helped us and tell the story as if we knew, because we understand the situation backwards. Mm-hmm. In the middle, though, we don't know. We're figuring it out as we go.
And at 21 or 22 or 23, we make all the decisions based on what we know then. And 25 or 26 or 27, when we start a family, everything changes. Mm-hmm. And we can't possibly make decisions at 21 based on knowing what our family needs when we're 27, because even if we tried, we'd be wrong. That's why people always say, oh, having kids is like the biggest change and you can't know until you do it.
Mm.
You know, we don't know. And nor can we make decisions based on knowing what the economy or technology will be doing in 6 years. Like, didn't we all laugh at universal translators and computers on little pads and electric cars, and now they all exist? I tell this story sometimes to our IT people. When I was in class, I did some IT classes in college, like 400 years ago, which I'm about to tell you. They were talking about wide area networks, which until then hadn't existed. He said, one day we'll have a wide area network that covers 10 miles. And everyone was like, whoa.
Yeah.
The idea that the entire world and cyberspace would exist, we had no clue.
Oh, yeah.
No clue.
Every time I get on Wi-Fi on an airplane, I think that. I think,
yes,
I'm on the internet in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah. When I was in college, I lived in Germany for a year, and I called my mom once a week for 20 minutes, and it cost a ridiculous amount of money. And now I Skype, and I just call the home phone, and it's free. Well, I pay a subscription, but it's practically free, and I can phone any day of the week, and it doesn't even feel like they're far away. It's amazing. Life is amazing. So all we can do is make the best choice based on the information we have at the moment. Now, we don't need to make stupid choices, but we don't need to make the one perfect choice either. And that's what we think these stories from executives that we know are gonna show. And so these are the real career planning paths, starting with, my first choice didn't work out for me.
Yeah, so Phil Beyer's story is the epitome of this route to success. He begins his story, quote, I was planning to pursue graduate school in physics. After undergrad, I volunteered for a year and tried to study for the GRE exam. I had a very rewarding and fulfilling year, but did very poorly on the test, which didn't help my prospects. I was essentially declined by the graduate schools to which I applied. That door was closed firmly in my face.
Now, remember, we got Phil's story because he's a successful executive coming to the M conference. So, you know, my first choice, that was his choice. That was what he thought he was going to do. And it didn't work out.
Right.
And that story isn't just for 3-year-olds who want to be firemen or 10-year-olds who think they're going to be paleontologists. Phil's in his 20s with a degree and a very reasonable goal, you know, an idea that's doable from where he is. And until he did the GRE and he did poorly on it, he had no indication that that wasn't going to be his path.
Right, exactly. And not being able to pursue your first choice can have many sources. You could fail an exam like Phil or not have the aptitude for the role that you hope to get. It might be a stupid reason. Matt Beckwith didn't get a dream job making pencils because he was late for an interview. You might not have the money to go to the school that you need. You might need to be at home and help with a family member who needs assistance. Chris White, his first choice didn't work out either. He and his wife found out that they were expecting. And so, you know, his rock stardom had to give way to landscaping. And you might just hate what you thought was going to be your dream job. Rhonda Hurley was the first woman meteorologist at United Airlines. She loved the weather, but hated being a meteorologist.
So all of those people had a path in mind and were just derailed.
Right.
but are all now successful. That's the big thing to keep in mind. So what happened to Phil? Phil is now the head of IT security at Etsy, which is one of my favorite websites to shop on. He said, around the time he was hearing back from the schools saying, you know, he'd been declined, he ran into some college friends who were starting a managed IT services consultancy. They needed a quick learner to help them grow. He had some early successes with clients and got along well with his colleagues. And in hindsight, he says, results and relationships. He says, when it came to explore other opportunities for value creation, I recommended we develop capabilities in what is now information security. I led those early engagements. And again, thanks to successful delivery and building more relationships, I've had an exciting career that's showing no signs of slowing down.
That's so cool.
And there's no obvious route from rejected from graduate school to head of an important department at a major internet retailer. You know, if you looked at that from his point of view, being rejected at graduate school, you could easily say, you know, my first choice is gone. What am I going to do? Like, what would be my strategy now? Well, his strategy was to take the job that was offered and do it well.
Right.
And when you have your heart set on one road for the rest of your life, that road becoming blocked feels like the end of any hope of success. For anyone who's been laid off or failed exams or you know, struggled in college or, you know, all of these things, in the moment, it feels like nothing ever is ever going to be okay again. And Phil and Matt and Chris and Rhonda all prove that that is not true.
Absolutely. It's so cool.
Folks, if you've been listening for a while to Career Tools and or Manager Tools, but you haven't been to a conference yet, I encourage you to come to the website and take a look. We have Effective Manager, Effective Communicator. We have Effective Remote Manager. We have Effective Hiring Manager. And even if you're not a manager, you need to start preparing now if that's a career step you want to take. We do all of those things in person. We also do them virtually. We also have Effective Remote Manager virtually as well. For the hybrid world we're all going to be living in for the next couple of years, I suspect. And as well, we do this for clients. So if you think you want to influence your company to bring us in, please talk to us and talk to your company, and perhaps we can do something for you directly.
The next one is, someone offered me a job. It's not unusual to finish your undergraduate degree and not know what you want to do with your career. In fact, a lot of 50-year-olds that I know, if you ask them what they want to do or what they're doing or what the future holds, they say, well, I don't even know what I want to be when I grow up yet, right? They're still figuring it out. In a lot of situations, many people take the job that's easiest to get at that time, right? Whatever's available to them, without a real plan for what 2, 3, 4 steps are going to be ahead of that. This was Ben's route. Ben said, my first job was an engineer making power distribution units for data centers. I got there because of my favorite professor, the one that made me realize that I wanted to be an engineer. My professor's kid was working at the company and they were looking for someone, and my professor said that I should apply. And Ben's been working with that same company for 10 years now.
Just based on someone saying, hey, you should apply for that job.
Right.
In fact, I started recruiting because I was temping for somebody and she said I would be bored, and I said I wouldn't, and she said yes you will, and I said I wouldn't, and then 2 weeks later I said I'm bored, and she said, oh, go help this recruitment team that need an extra person in your spare time. And that's how I started in recruitment and discovered I loved it. But complete coincidence.
That's so cool.
So Chris started his landscaping through the custodian at a middle school. So he had wanted to be a rock star. He found his wife was expecting, so they had to find some money. And so he had a part-time job cleaning at the middle school on top of his full-time job. And he met a custodian who just started a grass mowing company. And he needed help, and it paid more than both of Chris's other jobs. So he started cutting grass. And his idea was, I'll make some money over the summer, save up that money, and then I can go to California and be a rock star. And right. 30 years later, he is still a very successful executive, and he's still in the landscaping business.
Yeah, and you could say, right, from these stories that Ben and Chris got lucky somehow, right? Through amazing coincidence, the job that they were offered happened to be the one that they could love and be successful at. But Chris would caution you, and he would say, quote, I say that as if I got lucky. Nope, I worked hard. We sacrificed. I went from crew leader to director of operations because I had a great boss and mentor. I showed up early. I stayed late. And I was willing to try things. I learned from others in our industry. I served on the Ohio Landscape Association Board. I tried to be an early adopter in regards to technology. I studied productivity, lean management, getting things done, etc. I read lots of books. I found manager tools. Most of these things came along by happenstance. My education and experience was life. I'm grateful for every one of those circumstances because I learned something and used that experience to grow. And, you know, Chris and I were table mates at the First AM conference, and he and I talked kind of how we, you know, made a connection was we were talking about getting things done and we were talking about personal productivity systems and kind of nerding out over that type of stuff. We were talking about different systems and how you can integrate them with other systems and all of that. And he's so smart and great at what he does, of course. But what really fascinated me was his just endless curiosity, right? Mm-hmm. He had a system and it was working well for him. I mean, obviously he's very successful. And I mentioned that I've been dabbling with something else. And he was like, oh, can you send me some videos on that? Like, I want to, you know, he wanted to learn more. So yeah, just really, really impressed. And I think the point here is that you can be happy anywhere, but you have to do the work to be happy everywhere.
Happiness doesn't come for free.
Right.
I wish it did. It does not. Okay. So no straight lines. Even when you found a career and you think you're on a straight line to success, derailments happen. You know, Rhonda discovered that she hated being a meteorologist, so she changed careers. She said, I made my way into scientific sales, and then I found I really enjoyed looking at the big picture of the business, and I found myself on more and more committees and projects because my bosses knew that they could count on me to see things from a different perspective. But I was still a sales rep because I was a single mom who had to be at home at night to take care of my kids. So even though she's now found something that she's enjoying doing, she still can't give it, you know, what you know, the 90 hours a week that people think you need to be successful. She still can't do some of the things that maybe she wanted to do because she has to stay home and be with her kids.
Right.
Another example, Justin was caught up in economic misfortune. He chose oil and gas because it's what his dad did. Perfect reason. He thought it would be a great career, and it worked for a while. Development roles in Houston got him to Indonesia. Building trusting relationships got him his first manager roles. He moved back to Houston and then North Dakota with increasing responsibilities. And he survived three rounds of layoffs in North Dakota and got convinced to move to Midland, Texas. And then after two more rounds of layoffs, his network was not that strong because all of those people that were in his network were gone.
Right.
And younger folks from the home office were passing him on the organization chart. So now he moved to Houston in the same role as he'd been doing in Midland. So a sideways role in a different location, you know, with the sense that things are not going well for me.
Right. And they both worked hard. Right? Just like Chris would have told them to. And yet they stalled. This doesn't mean the end of their careers any more than it did at 23 for Phil not passing the GRE or not doing well on the GRE. Once Rhonda's kids got a little older and more independent, she went into management. She embraced manager tools philosophies and found herself getting more interesting roles with more responsibility. When her dad realized that his management team wasn't going to be a sustainable solution for his company, he tapped her on the shoulder and because he knew that she could do it. And she said, and here I am doing it.
And Rhonda told me she has other siblings who could have run her dad's company, but
yeah,
it made sense for her to do it because of what she'd been doing, because she'd been at home with her kids, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that, or it, again, it made sense looking backwards, but when she was at home and she couldn't do what she wanted to do, you know, because she had to look after her kids, and it's a hard place to be, but it all works out in the end. And there are times when you will stall, like Justin, like Rhonda, and maybe for years. Like, there are times when you have to wait for your circumstances to change, for the economy to move to a boom cycle, when you have to do less than you'd want to for family reasons or health reasons. And just don't worry. Time will pass. The wheel will turn. Your future fortunes will change when you're old and gray like us. No, Andrew is fresh-faced and young. You're old and gray like me. It all comes round. And who knew that podcasting was going to be a job?
Right. Someone told me I was presenting the other, was it this week? Last week. And someone said, Andrew, you've really, I gave them my kind of background. And they said, Andrew, you really have done a lot for, what are you, like 25? And I was like, oh, you're my new favorite. I love it.
Anyone like that. Keep yeah. that person. So we talked about, you know, Rhonda's career looks better backwards than it did forwards. The summary for that is looks strategic backwards, but really wasn't. And we've got some more examples of those.
Yeah, Hugh Halpern is one of those people whose career makes perfect sense. He started as an intern, driving his local congressman around. He got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in political science and a law degree. It seems inevitable that he would end up on Capitol Hill. After serving for 11 years as a committee staffer, he was awarded the John W. McCormick Award of Excellence, the highest award given to a staff member in the House. The award recognizes a lifetime of bipartisan service to the House. In December 2019, Hugh became the director of the Government Publishing Office. Whilst his career makes sense and looks like a straight line, it probably didn't lead to where you thought it would. Those degrees in political science and a law degree, I mean, he could have been a judge or a politician. Those would have been predictable endpoints to his career path or career line. Most people don't even know that the GPO exists, let alone what it does. At 20 or even 30, we couldn't have predicted this is what Hugh would be doing.
And nor could he.
Nor could he, yeah. Right.
There's another one. Stephen Price said he didn't know what he wanted to do when he got out of high school. A chemist, a physician, a police officer, and a teacher all had appeal. And then when he failed calculus at college, teaching was the only option. So that's what he studied. And his career followed a straight line, if you think of it as a straight line, from there. High school teaching, coaching basketball, a college coaching role, assistant professor, and now the dean in the Faculty of Health, Community, and Education. And although Stephen's career appears to follow a straight line, it's still not what we might have predicted when he started teaching. Plenty of high school teachers teach in the classroom for their whole career. Some take other roles in schools or districts. They might, you know, be a coach for other teachers. They might be in the administration. There's very few teachers that end up being college deans, especially high school teachers, because it's a whole different level of teaching.
Yeah.
So even if your career looks like a straight line, it doesn't mean that you'll end up in the same place as everyone else who starts in the same place and also follows a straight line. There's lots of straight lines.
Exactly. And then we come to unexpected opportunities. For some, where they ended up was based on opportunities that no one could have predicted. Adam's career dramatically changed after 9/11. As an IT professional and a volunteer firefighter, he had a great background for the FBI. After 9/11, the FBI fast-tracked him and others through their 1 to 2 year program in just 7 months. His next two opportunities came to him, quote, after a decade of responding to cybersecurity matters, I wanted to get on the defense side and went into consulting. I was approached by Tennessee Valley Authority to help them identify, analyze, and communicate technology risks to their executive leaders. My skill sets and accomplishments caught the attention of Eastman Chemical, a global Fortune 500 company based in Tennessee. They needed a leader to serve their cybersecurity team in strategy and integration with business leaders. I have had the pleasure of my role for about 2 years now. I landed in a career focus that did not exist 20 years ago.
It's amazing. 20 years ago. Yeah. And just because of 9/11, which was the one thing that nobody predicted.
That's right.
It's amazing. Corey had an unexpected opportunity in a different way. He started out as an electronics engineer, primarily doing software project management and product failure analysis. And he helped in bringing over an environmental supply chain management process when his company bought another company. And a few years later, he interviewed for the product compliance engineer role and he didn't get it. And for many, that might be the end of the story. Mm. Like Phil, he got to a place, he knew what he wanted, and it was denied him. So he could have stayed in his lane, never moving to compliance, been successful in the role he was in the line he was in. But then something he didn't expect happened. The exposure that he'd already had from that interview and his previous experience with bringing over that program from the company they bought led to an ever-increasing number of projects, small items, assignments in compliance work landing on his desk. And when the person that they had hired instead of him retired 5 years later, he was a natural fit to fill his shoes. So it took him another 5 years to get that job that he wanted. But, he got there. He built a small team of two compliance professionals, and that freed him up to take responsibility for leading corporate social responsibility in addition to product compliance. That's another role that didn't exist 20 years ago, corporate social responsibility.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He says it's a natural fit, but that wasn't obvious to anyone, including the people that interviewed him 5 years previously. You know, they didn't think he could do it, so they didn't hire him.
Yeah. But think about 5 years later, how much more prepared and how much better he did that job, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Having, being able to
being
to
derailed
prepare
and come back, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I bet at that moment when they hired someone else, he was like, well, that's the end for me.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. So if you are making career decisions, reduce the pressure on yourself. You do not need to make a singular right decision. You need to make the best decision you can in the moment. And then work hard, build relationships, get results, and someday you will be an executive telling your story as if it was a deliberate strategy right from the very beginning. Or somebody will ask you, how did you get here? And you'll say, well, it's a funny story, but it begins with me failing, or it begins with me not being a rock star, or it begins with me having to be home for my kids, or not getting the job, or whatever. There were so many moments where I can imagine these people, coming home and saying, oh, everything's over. I remember doing this to my mom when I got my A-level results and I didn't have enough to get into the college I wanted. And it was, well, life is over. My mom was like, no, it probably isn't when you're 18. Probably isn't. And I ended up on a different course, which put me on a different thing. And, it all works out.
It does. I wanted to go to law school. There was nothing else I wanted to do. I wanted to be a lawyer. And I wanted to go to our local law school. And I got waitlisted. So I had the merits, but I was on the wait list and started working, planned on just working for, a year, but started managing people, liked managing people, and decided not to go back to law school.
And one day you listened to a podcast and then you ended up
And then
up
one
here.
Day I listened to a podcast and somehow I'm here.
It's amazing. Yeah.
It's amazing how things work out.
Yeah. And nobody knows. Nobody has that strategy. Nobody knows what they're doing. We're all just doing our best and we all get to where we want to get to.
Right.
So I hope that's a moment of hope for everybody. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.